Hi, everyone. It's Brian Kilmeade here. Are you tired of those uncomfortable dress shirts, especially when they bunch up under a sweater? If so, then you must check out Collars & Co., makers of the Dress Collar Polo. Listen up. These shirts are four-way stretch, buttery soft polos with firm dress collars on them, so they give you the dress shirt look, but extremely comfortable polo feel. You can wear them with anything, under a sweater, with a blazer, or by themselves as an elevated polo. They work for any occasion. These polos are perfect, whether it's in the office, on a golf course or a night out. Collars & Co. is exploding and have gone viral on social media thanks to the $1 million investment they received on Shark Tank from Mark Cuban and Peter Jones. You don't have to worry about collars that flop down and spread out. They stay firm and sharp all day. It's an amazing array of sweaters, quarter zips, pants, and outerwear. If you're looking for the performance dress shirt or polo that looks great all day, check out collarsandco.com. Use promo code Brian for 15% off of any purchase of $100 or more. That's promo code Brian.
This episode is brought to you by LifeLock. It's tax season, and we're all a bit tired of numbers. But here's one you need to hear. $16.5 billion. That's how much the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud last year. Now here's a good number. 100 million. That's how many data points LifeLock monitors every second. If your identity is stolen, they'll fix it, guaranteed. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.
Hi, everyone. I'm Brian Kilmeade. This is One Nation. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. It's going to get better. Coming up on the show tonight, Senator Dave McCormick, a brand new book. Guy knows international business, and man, we need his expertise. John Crist is going to be with us. If there's a funnier man in America, I have not met him yet. But first, the fastest, most impactful monologue in America. Let's start with the theme of the week, fabricated friction. You know, I couldn't help but observe the media's tireless attempt to create a narrative that just isn't there in an effort to paint themselves as so-called Trump insiders. We're besieged by exclusive stories that don't pan out, primarily because the friction is fiction. Get it? You know, that Donald Trump is at odds and fed up with his team, sick of his cabinet members. At different points, practically everyone seems to have been on the outs. You would think that perhaps Trump is going to clean house totally, start a new, I don't know, a new team 4 months in. Case in point, the hysteria. The hysteria over National Security Advisor Michael Waltz.
It's likely the biggest national security debacle that any professional can remember.
Trump's people were caught red-handed. I mean, red-handed. Genuinely shocking scandal. Truly, like, appalling.
And although they don't hear it there, they all call for and predicted that Mike Waltz would be gone. How about Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth? They're all over him. According to the media, he's just about done. His head's going to roll. Quote, Trump has sought outside opinions on Pete Hegseth amid the scandal. Mar-a-Lago sources have said he's worried. Really? How did that go? Secretary of State Marco Rubio, clearly incredibly unhappy, according to some, and distressed after being left in the dark, as recent headlines would suggest. How did that go? The Elon Musk Trump bond was guaranteed to fracture even before he entered the White House. Remember? Yep. It was the Daily Beast story, citing CNN sources, Musk turning himself into the guest who wouldn't leave at Mar-a-Lago. How could those two gigantic personalities ever actually get along? Well, despite the Doge success, the mainstream media has him out the door already.
The reporting is that Musk will, quote, leave soon, stepping back in the coming weeks from his current role.
Politico reporting that the president has told his inner circle Elon Musk will be stepping back from his role as a governing partner soon.
Elon Musk could soon leave the Trump administration. You heard that right.
Never happened. This week, frustration grows around, drumroll please, Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick, ahead of the Trump tariff announcement. Quote, loose cannon with half-baked ideas, that's what they call him. Heck, they're even trying to pit the president against his vice president, J.D. Vance. He's got a source saying that Trump is looking to make Vice President Vance irrelevant. Nope. There's no proof yet to back up any of these claims. I would say flat out they are untrue. No one seems to be unhappy or on the outs. Trump's team is still tight, still on the same page. How do I know this? The same way you know this, because we're able to see it and with our own eyes and hear it with our own ears. Even NBC News had to admit it. Trump defends Hegseth a little bit later. Also, too, along with the Signal group chat, the controversy that was swirling for a week. You can't deny the truth. They're still in their jobs. Marco Rubio seems pretty happy, doesn't he? Here he is with the First Lady earlier this week. That is the wife of the president. You don't do that if you're unhappy. And Trump seems pretty happy with him, too.
We have Marco Rubio in charge. Marco's been amazing, and he's going to do a great job.
Yep, Howard Lutnick. He's kind of had a big week, you know. He's been in the headlines front and center at Trump's tariff announcement this week. Does he look like he's out?
This is our great Secretary of Commerce, Howard Lutnick.
So when it comes to Elon Musk, he was always eventually leaving Doge. He said that from day one. White House press secretary, when rumors of him leaving were out there swirling, she said that scoop is garbage. Elon Musk and President Trump have both publicly stated that Elon will depart from public service as a special government employee when his incredible work at Doge is complete. Musk even weighed in himself, commenting and saying, yeah, that's fake news. And I, you know what? I believe it. He's not done yet, and 47 seems to love having him around, despite Politico's headline. Remember this? Look at it. And as for our vice president, I'm not getting any bad blood vibes here. Just days ago, he talked to the great Lawrence Jones.
Man, I think the president has done more in 100 days than almost any administration has done in 8 years. And I really think that when you consider the southern border, which was the biggest crisis that we got elected to solve, 2 months in, border crossings are almost at zero when it comes to illegal border crossings.
At the end of the day, there is no amount of pressure from the media that can force this president to do anything he doesn't want to do. And it's also important to remember this, that with Donald Trump for the next 4 years, you are the insider. He tells us what he's thinking day in and day out. So believe your own eyes, believe your own ears. They will not deceive you. Another key factor, most of his team has been under the line of fire and in the barrel themselves over the last 4 years. They've been through it with the boss. It has forged a bond which has them watching each other's backs rather than putting a knife in them, as been in years past and other administrations. You can knock the president for many things, but transparency and loyalty this time around is not one of them. Trump thoughtfully assembled his squad, and it will take a lot for him to tear it apart. Joining me now for his insight, a guy with a lot of insiders with the Trump administration, the host of the Hugh Hewitt Show, Hugh Hewitt. You, what is the true story? Who are the Trump insiders, you?
The true story is legacy media is panicked. Brian, I loved your monologue. Because a lot of what we've seen coming out of legacy media about President Trump, Vice President Vance, everybody on the team, is simply not true. And they are avoiding real stories. Because if you look forward and you make stuff up, you don't have to look backwards. For example, the scoops that came out this week in the book Fight, about how absolutely infirm former President Biden was for much of his term. There are a lot of stories that aren't getting covered, aren't getting picked up. One, I hope we have a chance to get to, is Senator Grassley revealing the IG report about the 448,000 unaccompanied children who crossed over the border during the Biden years. That's a real story. We don't see anyone talking about that.
You know what's amazing, you? How many times did we see that video when the president decided that if you come across the border briefly, families were going to be separated because you committed a crime? That went on for, I think, 5 days, and they kept showing video of it. Joe Biden said, when I get into office, I'm going to find those families that were separated for that week. You know what? He never found the families, but he created 440,000 more separations, and we don't seem to care about those kids.
Not only not care, the Inspector General report. Now, they're usually pretty boring. Inspector Generals were stood up in 1978. The law was amended in 2022. But there's a law that puts an IG in every department. The Department of Homeland Security's Inspector General came out with a report about the 4 years of Team Biden running the border and children. 448,000 unaccompanied minors are known to have crossed the border. Doesn't count for those that got away, we didn't see, we didn't touch. Of those, the Department of Homeland Security's IG admits we've lost 31,000 at a minimum. At least another 48,000 did not show up for court-ordered appointment dates. It's almost too awful to imagine what has happened to some of these children. Now, some of them were 17 and 18, and they're simply gone off and vanished into the workforce. But a lot of them were sub-16 minors. And we don't know where they are, Brian. We don't know what's happening to them. Some of them are being trafficked. Some of them are being basically slave wages for other people. And that's all on Team Biden. When J.D. Vance said in your monologue, we're down to zero now, it's almost zero because the word went forth from the White House, from the president and from his entire team. Do not come across the border. And it stopped. But now we have to go not only deport people illegally, we've got to find these children, especially the youngest children, and make sure that they're safe.
Doesn't it seem like we care more about gangsters, MS-13 gangsters that might have been sent to El Salvador with neck tattoos than we do about children that we haven't seen in years?
Yes, we do. In fact, that's part of the hangover of Trump derangement syndrome, especially in legacy media. They want to focus on due process rights for people that are being deported. They don't want to focus on this inspector general's report. My hat is off to Chuck Grassley. The guy's in his 90s, but he does his homework. He stood up on the Senate floor and he said, hey, America, pay attention to this report. Joe Biden's team opened the border. They did not care who came in. And a bunch of kids have gone missing in America. And usually that would be the sort of scam. If that happened on Donald Trump's watch, Brian, we would be talking about nothing else. But we're not talking about it at all because it happened on Joe Biden's watch.
It's just amazing how much is going on. And by the way, we should be talking about it if it happened on Donald Trump's watch. And we should. And we would be covering it. And you know what? Who would be the most upset? Donald Trump. And then just to go full circle,
yes.
Then someone would get fired. Because if that happened under his watch,
yes.
It would show total incompetence. And that's what we witnessed the four previous years. Trump's doing a lot at once, but one of the big successes is so far at the border and getting the criminals out who are in our country. Hugh Hewitt, always great to have you on. Thanks so much. All right. Meanwhile, last week, Donald Trump declared Liberation Day, announcing a wide-ranging tariff strategy, as you know. It's hitting China hard with reciprocal tariffs of 34%. If you add them all together, it's over 50% on China. Now, China answered back with 34% tariffs on all U.S. imports and focusing on 11 separate companies, American companies. Republicans praise it as a long overdue aggressive measure, while Democrats claim there's nothing liberating about tariffs. Have they forgotten their own past stances?
In terms of jobs, this is the biggest and cruelest hoax of all. Not only do we not have market access, not only do they have prohibitive tariffs, not only are our exports not let in very specifically, but China benefits with at least 10 million jobs from U.S.-China trade.
Same woman, different hairstyle. While Nancy Pelosi and the left may have shifted their opinions again, Donald Trump hasn't, ever.
Somebody said, well, what would you do? What can you do? So easy. I drop a 25% tax on China. And you know, I said to somebody that it's really the messenger. The messenger is important. I could have one man say, we're going to tax you 25%. And I could say another, listen, you motherfuckers, we're going to tax you 25%.
Yeah, I mean, I could have rolled the Phil Donahue show. I could have rolled an early Oprah Winfrey show. He was saying the same thing. And joining us now to discuss it all, the author of Who Believed in You, a great new book, Pennsylvania Senator Dave McCormick. Senator, you have such international business knowledge and you know the China market. How do you feel about the president's approach? Many are holding on tight and getting a little seasick. Are you?
Well, it's good to be with you, Brian. That you see President Trump there. He's been consistent. There's no doubt. Listen, I mean, the tariffs are going to be a bit rocky, and the president said that, but you got to start with the following. People are worried about certainty, and there's so much certainty for business leaders to be factoring in. Number one, we have the certainty of a huge deregulatory push. We have the certainty of the energy revolution. We have the certainty of, I think, the tax cuts will be extended. We have the certainty of trillions of dollars of foreign direct investment coming into the United States just since President Trump took office. The second thing we know is that these tariffs are designed to fix a fundamental unfairness in the global trading system. What's happened over decades is that American workers and American businesses have not been getting a fair deal because of tariffs from our trading partners, because of non-tariff barriers, because of currency. And that's hurt our manufacturing base. That's hurt Pennsylvania. That's hurt my hometown where I grew up. When I was a kid, we had 2,000 workers in the local carpet mill. We have 200 now. So this is meant to fix a fundamental problem and rework America's economy. And so the tariffs that were rolled out, as Secretary Bessent said, that's the ceiling. And I think now the negotiations begin. And I think as we'll have to wait and see, but I think as things take shape, that companies will start to come back to the United States and invest.
Is China more equipped to handle the tariffs now or in 2017 when Trump put them on the first time?
Well, I think we're much better prepared to deal with it now in the following sense. What's happened since President Trump was president in 2017 was that you see many companies that have moved out of China because of the growing risk of China and built their supply chains throughout Southeast Asia or in other places. We need to bring some of those supply chains right back to the United States. But we're less dependent on China than we were when President Trump was first in office. And that's in part because of the actions President Trump took then.
So protesters kind of stopped an event that I wanted to go cover. And that was going to be an event that Democrat John Fetterman, a Pennsylvania senator, and Dave McCormick, senator Republican from Pennsylvania, were going to put on together kind of around your book. You guys kind of support each other. But there's protesters, people are angry, and they decide, and I guess the Fetterman camp decided it wasn't worth it. What happened?
Well, I mean, first of all, you just looked, there was a story that vandals, there was vandalizing of Senator Fetterman's wife's store. I mean, this is truly disgraceful. Both Senator Fetterman and I are committed to working together when we see opportunities to help the people of Pennsylvania. We have lots of disagreements. We're from different parties, but we agree that we need to find ways to work together to support Pennsylvanians. And you see these huge protests in part because of Senator Fetterman's strong position on Israel, his strong support against anti-Semitism. He and I agree on that. And listen, we're gonna prevail. We're going to continue to take our message to the people of Pennsylvania.
And you know what? And I'll be there, too, when you guys do this together. So I'm excited for your book. I talked to you on radio about it, Who Believed in You? And I want to go to an excerpt. You and your wife wrote it about mentorship and the importance of it. And you have individual stories, but your goal is much bigger. You want to save America this way. You say you envisioned a renewed America where we've regained our trust for our leaders and institutions. We trust educators again. We trust clergy again. We trust law enforcement and judges and attorneys and state officials and politicians. We trust our leaders because they have been mentored to be trustworthy. So talk about that. We're on our keyboards. We're playing Xbox. We're not meeting people. But you want not only to meet people, you want to mentor people, right?
Yeah, this came about. It wasn't really a book to start with. It was just during COVID. We got six daughters, and we realized that they were disconnected because we were all locked up together from their teachers, from their coaches, key mentors in their life that would help them find their path and find their purpose. And Dean and I started to talk about the mentors in our life that had helped us find our purpose. And we started to talk to some of our friends, some very successful people in business and politics, Governor Huckabee, Sati Nadella, and a number of people that have been very successful. All of them could point to a key person or two that had made all the difference in their lives. And so the book is not about those famous people. It's about the people you never heard of that made them famous. And I do think we have more and more disconnectivity in our society. If you look at all the survey data over the last 20 years or so, people are losing faith in their churches, in their public officials, in the media in particular. Mm. And the way to fix that is to build a next generation of leaders that can take the call to serve our great country. And each of us can play a role in kind of paying it forward to help build that next generation.
It might be a younger person in your neighborhood. Find out what they want to do. Maybe you help them pick a career. They'll never forget it. We never forget our teachers and somebody that goes out of their way because they see something in you and it could change lives. And that's what your book's about, Who Believed in You. It's so important you found time to do this. I appreciate it, Dave. And good luck in your first year in Washington and your first ever Voterama. It was exciting. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Brian. I want to say that this is my wife and I want to make sure it's our book together, and your listeners and watchers can get it at whobelievedinyou.com. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was co-authored. I appreciate it, Senator. Meanwhile, catch me on stage. History, Liberty, and Laughs. It's going to be in Dayton, Ohio, June 21st, Victoria Theater. It's going to be inspirational, motivational, and patriotic. BrianKilmeade.com. Next on this show, though, Elon Musk taking aim at some members of Congress that are strangely wealthy. Charlie Gasparino joins me on that. And don't change the channel. The always funny John Crist with some really nice insight and humor. And laughs.
Everybody on the internet is like acting like Mother Teresa, dude. Just like, we stand with Ukraine. I go, you don't even have custody of your kids. Pick up your kids from soccer practice, then we'll talk about foreign policy, Kevin.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. Both ends of the ozone burning. Funny how the world keeps turning.
Want the effect?
So Elon Musk has a message for rich lawmakers. Show Doge the money.
Let's just say that there's a lot of strangely wealthy members of Congress. How did they become rich while earning, how did they get $20 million if they're earning $200,000 a year? We're going to try to figure it out and certainly stop it from happening.
How about that? Millionaire members of Congress now in the crosshairs as Doge continues its slashing spree, and he wants to get to a trillion. Joining us now, Fox News senior correspondent Charlie Gasparino. Charlie, have you figured out how these lawmakers got so rich in many cases?
I mean, a lot of it's stock trading. And so I don't know. I mean, while I respect his calling attention to this, you know, there is a degree of stock trading. I mean, you know, the Nancy Pelosi business where apparently an account held by her husband has miraculously buy stocks that go up and often around issues that let's just say the congresswoman and congressman in particular gets briefings on. So he kind of knows where legislation's going. That's not necessarily illegal, by the way. It is obviously highly sleazy and, you know, be nice if it ended. It did always baffle me how Joe Biden, who's been in office a long time, so he's been a public servant a long time, was living like a multimillionaire. Okay, I could never get my hands around that. How that sort of comports with the, I guess, the mission of Doge is another matter. You know what I'm saying? He should be worried more about not how these guys are ripping off people. I mean, that's for the Justice Department. I mean, I'm not saying ignore it, but there's a different department for that. He should just be really worrying about getting the budget deficit under control. We have a $2 trillion budget deficit. I don't think this is going to deal with that. It's pretty much off topic. My guess is he's doing this because they continue to attack him. And he's like saying, all right, you want to come after me? I'm going to find out why you guys make so much. And I'm going to make you look like idiots. I mean, that's what I'm sort of, that's my two cents here.
A couple of things. I think, number one, he's been doing a great job along the way. Yeah. And I think the savings are going to be substantial. I'm most encouraged by the systems that he's changing. He's leaning out agencies like he would a corporation. And he's got the skill set. He's got the skill set as an inventor, but he also has it as a business guy. And you see it in X, you see it in Tesla, you see it. You see how he's restructuring and what he's doing with SpaceX, too, and how close he came to bankruptcy along the way. So, Charlie, the stats show that consumers have money, but they're choosing to save it rather than spend it. And that was even before the tariff mania that took place this week. What does that tell you?
Well, listen, if you believe the markets, and I'm not talking about the stock market. I don't put a lot of credence in the fluctuations of the stock market as much as I look at the bond market. The bond market is signaling bright red recession, no doubt about it. Yields went below 4%, and that 3% on the 10-year. Hate to be wonky here, but that's the canary in the coal mine for a recession. That's, and by the way, average people aren't looking at the 10 years and saying, oh, we should save. They just know what's going on. I mean, they listen, car company last week just laid off 900 people, Stellantis. I mean, it's going to be more. You know, companies are cutting back on spending right now and research and development. And obviously that trick, that sort of flows to the workforce. So the average consumer knows something is bad here. I think we were going to have an economic slowdown no matter what. That's why I was banking on the Trump tax cuts to come through, deregulation. I mean, this was going to happen. Joe Biden improperly and sort of synthetically inflated the economy with a lot of spending as he was leaving office to try to get Kamala Harris elected. Now that sugar high is over. So we were going to get a slowdown. Mm. I think the problem that the Trump administration has is that in the face of a slowdown, they went heavy into this tariff stuff, which will, at least until Donald Trump can cut some deals, will lead to some real economic dislocation. And, you know, the sooner he can cut deals, the better, because we are going into a recession. And even worse, we might have stagflation. I mean, we might have this weird thing where you have both higher prices, because tariffs do lead to higher prices because there are reciprocal tariffs on us, and a recession. You usually have one or the other, right? You have a recession, prices go down because people don't have a lot of money to buy stuff. You have inflation, well, you know, economy's booming, so a lot of people have money. This, we could be in the position where we get both because of the tariff stuff. And, you know, I just hope Donald Trump is the deal maker, and he shoots first sometimes and asks questions later. But he knows how to get people's attention. I think my hope is, and I know the guy, I mean, he likes to cut deals, that he's not an ideologue on trade, that this is a negotiating ploy. And, you know, he's hurting us. We're hurting other countries, hurting us, that he's going to craft some good deals. And this is going to be a short lived thing. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, does he care about, I mean, maybe he really believes in everything that Peter Navarro says, and he's not listening to the other side of the coin, which would be, in this case, Scott Bessent, who probably is, from what I understand, is advising him to maybe, you know, pull back a little bit on this stuff.
Charlie, thanks so much. Appreciate it. It's an exciting time to be in your business, and that is the business of business journalism. Thanks so much. Next, the Media Moments That Matter with none other than Tommy Lahren. She joins us. And remember, we want to hear from you. Send us an email, send us a video featuring you on it or what you think. Like, for example, Brooke wrote this. She said, she wrote us last week and said, wow, so much going on, Brian. Great show. You touched on everything. Such a shame that what's happened with college athletes. They're nothing more than a commodity. Education no longer matters, unfortunately. And by the way, the co-host quiz, ridiculous as usual. Take that, Lawrence and Ainsley. Keep the emails coming. All right.
If you know luxury.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Ashley Strohmeyer live in New York. Asia Pacific markets plunging Monday as fears over a global trade war intensify. The uncertainty comes amid President Trump's rollout of high tariff rates on most U.S. trading partners. Japan's benchmark Nikkei fell by more than 8% shortly after opening. South Korea, Australia, and New Zealand's markets also taking a sharp tumble. U.S. stock futures are also sharply lower. Dow futures are down 900 points, and the S&P 500 and Nasdaq futures are currently hovering around a 3% loss. The massive declines in futures follow the worst week for the market since the start of the pandemic. Sell-offs wiped away over $5 trillion in market value. President Trump is citing the trade deficit with China as his rationale for pressing on with the tariffs planned. And the U.S. is set to impose even steeper levies on many countries this week. I'm Ashley Strohmeyer, back to One Nation.
Media Moments That Matter.
I love the VCR animation. Time now for our favorite segment of the week. Sorry, John Crist. This week, I gave the VCR and all the cords and the TV guide to the host of Tommy Lahren is Fearless, Tommy Lahren. Tommy, I asked you to come up with something, and you said there's too much to deal with, but you did knock it down to three big topics. Where do we begin?
I want to start off, Brian, with some breaking news. I don't know if you knew this or not, but apparently former President Joe Biden may have been experiencing a little bit of cognitive decline. That is my first takeaway for you this week in the Media Moments That Matter. A slew of books coming out, Brian, saying what many of us maybe already knew, that a lot of these folks in the administration and in the media were maybe flat out lying to us about just how mentally acute President Joe Biden was. I know you're shocked. Please try to rein in your shock and awe.
This version of Biden, intellectually, analytically, is the best Biden ever.
He's as sharp as a tack.
anybody, any aide who engages with him or reporters. We can see this. The gears of his mind are working.
His grasp of details for his engagement. I've seen this myself, Martha.
You know, I'm starting to read some of the. So, Tommy, I'm starting to read some of these books. It's even worse than we even thought. And everybody on those on that tape should just leave the business because they're flat out lying to you. And Chris Coons has been lying all along. He has seen him up close. He replaced him in the Senate when he became vice president. The families are friends. He knows that. And for Joe Scarborough, why would you listen to anything he says from here on in when this version of Joe Biden is the best ever? And it does bother me to agree. Not the book Fight, because those reporters were saying this. It bothers me that other people are making money off a story they didn't have the guts to run when he was in office.
Not only that, Brian, but how boring would some of these books be when a lot of us already knew this was happening? I mean, there are some juicy details here about maybe fluorescent tape on the floor, like little breadcrumbs, Hansel and Gretel. So maybe some funny things for us to read, but overall kind of boring because a lot of us already knew. I want to go to something else that most people already knew, that Elon Musk and Doge are, in fact, not trying to cut off Social Security from grandma and grandpa. But unfortunately, it took Scott Walker on CNN to maybe school the rest of the panel on just that. Take a look at this wonderful moment.
Not only did he spend the money, he came to the state.
Right.
He came to the state. He talked about cutting Medicaid, Social Security through Doge. Bringing those issues up.
Actually, he never talked. He explicitly said in Green Bay that he would not cut Social Security.
Talked at his rallies.
No, other people said about that, but I was there. I watched him.
Okay.
He did not say he was going to cut Medicaid.
Other people at his rallies who work for Doge, who work for Elon Musk's organization, talked about those issues.
No, I was at the rally. Not a one of them said that.
Do you think
that there are protesters said, but nobody there actually said
that. Do you think that there are risks here?
There are. People believe the lies that people are saying
about that. Being associated,
but that's not at all what they said.
I was so glad Governor Walker said that, because the Democrats keep saying that over and over again. He wants to smooth out the system, make the payments easier, get rid of fraud. Nobody's talking about cutting out payments. That's why it was so important to push back on a network that never gets pushed back on.
Exactly. And it's so wonderful when these people are put right in their place, because they're actually stoking fear in elderly and vulnerable Americans that they're going to lose benefits that they're actually entitled to. So good for Scott Walker for setting them straight. He and Scott Jennings are really helping that network. They need a lot of help. But maybe the only reasons to watch are a couple of these conservatives that are setting their record straight. But speaking of people setting their record straight, now the unlikely voice of reason, Charlemagne the God, right? He's taken some shots at the Democrat Party. He's been doing it for a little while, but now he's taken a shot right to the heart of maybe some of their stars, Schumer, Newsom, and others. Take a look at this truth serum.
Schumer is not the man with a plan to fight Trump. He ain't the man with a plan for a good Cinco de Mayo. Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer need to be primaried and thrown out of office. Maybe Democratic leaders in Congress ain't it. What if we look outside of Washington to the governors? Gavin Newsom from California. He's been getting active lately. What's his fight plan?
We need to change the conversation. And that's why I'm launching a new podcast. And this is going to be Anything But the Ordinary Politician podcast.
I don't believe you. Your body doesn't even believe the words you're saying.
Oh, Brian,
I know it's great.
Love it.
I know. But you know what? He's holding his party to a higher standard, much like Bill Maher. I thought it was great. And the thing about Gavin Newsom, I'm not buying any of it. You lived out there. Are you buying it?
I'm not buying it at all. And I also wonder, with all the problems in the state of California, how does the governor have time to do a podcast? That's something that I would really like to know. I think maybe a lot of Californians would like to know. With all of these things that you should be working on that you broke, you're doing a podcast, Gavin? Wow, how mighty indulgent of you. But I wouldn't expect anything else, Brian.
Right. Right. He's still begging for money for President Trump. Tommy Lahren, you're the best. We'll make sure to check you out on Outkick like we do every single day. Thank you. Meanwhile, on this show, does that $20 burrito seem just out of your budget tonight? Don't worry. DoorDash will help you finance it. Finally, comedian John Crist is ordering one as we speak and joins us a little bit later. Hopefully, DoorDash won't interrupt the segment. You're watching One Nation.
In the airport, I try to be very kind to everybody, very friendly. I'll take a photo. I go through airport security. The lady goes, and I hugged her, dude. I might have said I loved her, and now I'm on a list.
If you're like I was, you're
According to the Bible, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But according to my parents, God has been chilling out a lot. My sister was in the basement watching a movie with her boyfriend with the door locked. I was like, what's going on in here? My mom from the other room goes, John, chill out. Give him some privacy. Excuse me. We had to watch Kirk Cameron movies on separate couches.
Comedian John Criss in his newly released comedy special called Emotional Support. Get these stats. Since February, when it was released in February, it's now had 2.5 million views on YouTube and more than 20 million across social media, all different apparatuses. Now, taking a break from his Jokes for Humans tour just for you is John Criss himself. John, congratulations on all the downloads and success, but I don't think you're surprised.
I'm not surprised. No, I think we said at the beginning when this thing came out, I go, either we can put it on one of the streamers or we can just go to the fans directly. And that's what happened. Either we can edit it. Every streamer has their own kind of agenda. And I was like trying to edit, you know, to whoever it was. And they were just like, just edit it how you want it and put it on YouTube. And it's going to be one of the biggest specials across all platforms, by the way, in 2025, which is unbelievable.
See, what's kind of cool for you that I could never do is, aren't you very critical of yourself when you go into an edit session? Are you able to get over that?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to rewatch this video when I see it on Fox, and I'm going to be like, I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I wore that. I mean, you're the most critical of my outfits, but this is a pearl snap, and I'm in Nashville. This is Nashville formal right here, brother.
That was a preemptive strike. I was not going to say anything about that. All right, so one story I want you to get comment on. This is in the news. All right, how hungry are you? DoorDash announces buy now, pay later partnership, which means that for a $20 burrito, you can order from DoorDash. It could now cost you $70 because you basically get it on layaway.
Yeah, I did see that. And I'll tell you, Brian, I think anyone who uses this service does not get to comment on the tariffs. I think just top to bottom, if you're about to put on X, I think about it should just a little notification just go bump, bump. You financed a Chipotle. You're disqualified from sending this tweet. I wish we had that across the board.
Well, and hopefully we will. It is a scary thought that some people can't pay for DoorDash all at once. And obviously
terrifying.
You're quite lazy. So Morgan Wallen is one of the hottest country music stars in America. So SNL was smart to book him, and he went back and played. Yep. And everybody's talking, and we can roll the tape right now. As they are rolling the credits and they're saying goodbye at the end, he just walks out. And then he posts in front of his plane this little statement, get me to God's country. And now he hasn't really told us why he left right away. We have his people telling us their explanation, but he's making the most of this. He is now selling shirts that say, get me to God's country. You're in God's country. What does he mean? What do you think he was thinking?
Well, I'll tell you this. It, like you said, we don't know what he meant. But anyone that's defending this, I mean, anyone being critical of Morgan, keep in mind, this man is in private car services, private jets, craft services, staying at the Four Seasons in Rockefeller Center. And he's getting out of there. He didn't even see the subways. He didn't even imagine going to Times Square and getting pickpocketed by a dressed up Pikachu. Like, if you're saying that's not God's country, he didn't even see the bottom. And we've all seen it. And it's way worse than what Morgan Wallen said. I promise you that.
Right. And now they're trying to spin it and say he's not being critical of the city. Of course he's being critical. It's a mess.
Yes.
And he even has that four-star life. So we know we're focusing a lot on Elon Musk and going into space and Blue Origin with Jeff Bezos. Now, Europe is getting in on it. The European Space Agency is willing to pay $5,000 for a male volunteer willing to spend 10 days in bed. Your thoughts on their entry into the space race, I guess?
I mean, 10,000 to pay for 10 days in bed. Where did they get that idea? The U.S. government? I think we're already doing that with everybody on welfare and unemployment. They're like, yeah, we got plenty. Look around your neighborhood and your community. We got plenty of those people getting a lot of practice. My roommate, yeah, by the way, said he was going to sign up for Elon to go to Mars. And I'm like, what are you going to contribute to Mars, dude? You haven't even contributed anything to Earth. We're sitting here at 2:30 on a Friday afternoon. Why are you not at work? What are you going to do in space, right, brother?
John, that's a great point, because a lot of people who want to go to another planet first have to excel on Earth. And I think we can both make a stand together on that.
Yeah.
Yes. Please excel on Earth before you leave. Listen, get this guy, download a special, obviously. And I want you to get tickets for John's Jokes for Humans tour right now. Go to johnchriscomedy.com. John, always great to see you. And thanks for dressing exactly the way you did.
Thank you, brother. We're both coming to Dayton. We'll see who sells more tickets.
Is that a challenge? June 21st? I would like you to be in the audience 10% off if you act now. 10% off, John Chris, and I'll put you right in the middle. Not even a good seat. All right. Up straight ahead. And how dare he taunt me? Up next, your sneak peek at the week ahead. Don't move.
Want the effects of...
All right, before we go, a sneak peek at the week. And helping us out this week, senior congressional correspondent, there's nobody like him, Chad Pergram, is here with what you need to know.
Well, Brian, the House will try to align with the Senate on a new framework adopted over the weekend for the tax cut and spending cut bill. House Speaker Mike Johnson, he is going to try again to pass a bill to rein in judges that blew up last week over a revolt about proxy voting for members who are pregnant. There is a Senate hearing on locking the clock, eliminating the time change, daylight saving time, and Monday, the NCAA basketball championship in San Antonio. Ryan?
Right. It's going to be a fun week, and that is it for us tonight for this weekend. Tune into my radio show on Monday morning, Ellie Conan, Inside the College Riots, anti-Semitism raging in our country. Congressman Mike Collins on the Judge Fair and the war against Donald Trump through the courts, and Chairman Brian Steele will be with us too. And don't forget to check out Fox and Friends. I'm not going to give away all the guests. I want it to be a surprise. I only ask one thing of you now, America. This week, and of course tonight, stay within yourself.
Fox News Audio presents the Fox Nation Investigates podcast, Evil Next Door, exploring the life and crimes of five serial predators from across the United States. Listen and follow now at foxtruecrime.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.